Attention students, the Jabroni University Network is now in session. Please make your way to class.
Oh yeah, you're listening to the Draft Podcast. Let's start the show.
Welcome to the Draft Pod with, like, I think maybe four-time guest, the Cheese.
Yeah, we're racking it up.
Cheese. We're almost at that Golden Eagle. A Golden Eagle is a five-timer, Cheese, and you're almost there, buddy.
I can't wait. I need to get there. I'm very excited and happy to be on here once again.
Yeah.
Hell yes.
Right.
Starting
talking about something
your varsity jacket
about.
Already.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Size
is that
them
a
up.
Prime?
That
you
is.
Drinking Prime?
Yeah.
I was just drinking some. We're best friends. Give me that
Look
hat.
At that. Yeah. Yeah, no, I enjoy the taste. Prime. You know, you got several members of Jabroni U Network that are drinking your shit, so sponsor us.
Please,
you know, KSI.
Let's I just haven't been to the grocery store. If not, I would have one too. So,
yeah. But something very dear to our hearts at Jabroni U, we've got two members that are in this club, and Cheese is in this club. So, it's going to be a good one because we got you can't spell Drew without a damn red W flying high like the balloon with the red color hue. That little girl always reaching why. She understands that you have to reach to really fly. I know a guy flying so high he begins to freeze. White hot dude throwing craft called the Cheese. I said, do the carpets match the drapes? I must inquire. He said, well, Andy, like Lil Weezy, I got that fire. But when it's hot out, you need that sunscreen. Because the burn of a redhead is something mean. One time I got burnt and this girl said I look like hell. But I told her if she was hurting, just let this ginger ale. She blushed and I told her now she looked like me. 9 months later, we birthed the baby Cheese. You see, redheads can often be misunderstood, but we're here to celebrate the good. Did you know redheads are less likely to go gray? Less than 2% of the world, so they're unique in their own damn way. So the next time you hear somebody hating, just know the redheads are gods and less Satan. The dudes are too sexy, that's what Fred said. The type of dudes to straight wreck beds. They go, no, it's so wet when they spread legs. They beat it up for 12 like Canelo Alvarez. They go green with bays like a cheese head. But today we're showing love to the dudes with red heads.
Yeah. Wow. Beautiful. Beautiful.
That was amazing.
Amazing.
Yeah.
The ginger ale line really, that tickled me pink. That was beautiful.
Yeah, all of the redheads out there can use that. Shout out to my brother. He is a redhead. Nobody else in my family is, but he is. So, man.
Shout out, John.
What up, John?
Yeah, shout out, John. Shouts out to all the redheads out in the world. Less than 2%. That was surprising to me because I feel like I see way more redheads out there in, like, TV, movie, advertising kind of land. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, redheads are they've infiltrated Hollywood, you know? Like,
yeah.
That's what they say, redheads control Hollywood, right?
That's exactly what they say.
We're just going to not invite Kanye on for that one.
Yeah. Don't ask Kanye, but yeah, just say that's what they say.
Redheads just running the industry, you know?
Oh, my God.
Oh man,
all those redheaded leading men out there.
Dude, there's some you know what's interesting, because I feel like redhead dudes have it a little more difficult than the redhead ladies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like 100%. Redhead ladies are like, they're like a delicacy out there, right?
Yeah.
Like, people love redheaded ladies. But like the redheaded dudes don't get the proper respect they deserve, you know?
Yeah, even redheaded ladies don't like redheaded dudes. They're like, that's too much red.
We'll say there is a, I've noticed there's a certain niche audience out there of females that really love the red beard, though.
True.
Hey,
sure.
There's a certain demographic
that is like, I've heard a lot of comments from. So, you know,
nice red beard.
Yeah.
Sexy.
I won't tell tales out of school, boys, but I do have quite a bit of red in my beard, and it's known as a genetic mutation, if you can think of that.
Yeah.
And I'm not single now. I'm happily married and have a baby Belle, two and a half month old. But back in the day when the old cheese was crawling the singles market, the ladies would really dig the red in the beard. They're like, oh, you've got red in your beard. And I'd be like, well, yes, I do.
That's absolutely right, ma'am.
Anybody else that would say it, I'm just like, I don't know what you're talking about. Don't talk to me. This is a genetic mutation. I'm a freak. Don't look at me. And all the ladies are like, oh, my God.
I like to hand it over half your face.
Yeah. Don't look.
I used to have red in my beard, too, but it turned into gray. Like, all the stuff that's gray now, it used to be red.
You're really distinguished now.
Yeah, that's very weird.
Yeah. Huh. Yeah. So, like, you're kind of like, are you one of those people that's like, I got 1% red in me?
Oh, yeah. I definitely have, like, I got like a tiny bit of red. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to move to Hollywood, because I know that I'm going to get on.
You'll make it.
You're checking boxes. You know?
I'll let my buddies know.
Yeah. Thanks, Drew. Yeah. Put the word out.
I did hear there was like a redhead convention, and I'm like,
yeah,
I really want you and Wes and all of our redheaded folks to go out there, report live, and bring back feedback on the redhead convention. Because I said ginger ale.
Whoa.
Like, are we allowed to? Are we?
I mean,
ooh.
Like, is that?
I don't know, man. You might be skating on.
Is that like Sade? Is that the sweetest taboo?
Yeah, it's not
you're
your
cool
word
with me.
Okay,
I'll just go saying it to everybody. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right, right, right. Oh, I got my pass from you. I got my
pass.
You got a drink
pass. The ginge pass. That's the ginge pass.
Yeah.
Dude,
that's
I mean, great. I might have to, like, you know, calm some people down if you go saying it too loud. You know?
You guys talk about it at the meeting.
Yeah.
Look, it's okay if you get the pass on ginger, but like white people, the black dude gives you the pass, still don't say it. All right? Still don't
do it. Test. Yeah. It's absolutely a test.
Yeah.
But the ginger pass is different, you know? It's especially if you show love. It's all about showing love. So
absolutely.
Well, cheese, what do you got coming up? You got anything events or things you got coming up?
Well, as a man with 1,000 things in the can that's squirting out cheese, I've got all kinds of stuff coming up. Tomorrow night, I'm going to be at Munchie's 420 Cafe for Trivia with the Cheese.
Ooh.
Tuesday night, I'm going to be at Beer Buster's Movie Bar in St. Petersburg, Florida, for Trivia with the Cheese as well. And then on Friday night, Kingdom of Wrestling returns. Mayhem at Munchies. It's going to be one of the biggest blowouts you can ever wrap your mind around. Whenever Kingdom of Wrestling, and you guys know because you're there,
That's right.
Kingdom of Wrestling invades Munchies 420 Cafe, it is always a good time had by all. It's going to be, this one's going to be really big. It's St. Patty's Day. And, you know, weekly, I've got the trivia stuff of March 25th. I also have, I'm defending my Brawl USA championship against Cody Behringer for Brawl USA at Leadfoot City in Brooksville, Florida. And then beyond that, I've got some more things in the can, but, you know, I could list for probably a week straight.
Yeah, you can find him at The Cheese Pro on Instagram. And, you know, you mentioned Munchies 420 Cafe, and we were having a little conversation pre-recording about, you know, the fattest things we do. I'll tell you what, Munchies 420 is just heaven for a fat guy or anybody that aspires to have that fat gene in them. What is you guys' favorite Munchies 420 item?
The DD cheese.
Yeah.
Respect.
I think it's that. For me, it's that Sandy. I forget the name of it.
About one of the fat Sandys.
Fat Sandy. Yeah. Is that what they're all called? That.
Yeah.
I think they're like that's the category is fat Sandy. Oh, that's and like okay. Different variations, but yeah, those are bomb. Even the one he is like stacked. Like
the one that I would get would have like cheese sticks on it.
Yeah.
And I think hamburger patties, and then more cheese, and then yeah, it was fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The fat Sandys. Sandy, two cheeseburgers, mac and cheese,
that's it.
Fingers, onion rings, spuds, and mozzarella sticks.
Yeah. There it is. That's the one.
Dude. Munchies 420. There's... So if you're not coming for the wrestling, come for that, and then you're going to get to see the cheese, too. It's like a bonus.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a bonus. I've got plenty of surprises in store. I'm working against my new nemesis and old friend Bud Heavy, who's now known as Gluttony.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably gonna have to shove a DD cheese in his face before I give him the actual DD cheese.
That's a solid move, right?
That's
there.
Awesome. Yeah,
anyway, if you want some good commentary, I hope you're going on early because there's rumors that commentary team might be partaking in St. Patrick's Day celebrations. So,
hey, you got to, you got to do it.
That main event might be a little messy.
Yeah, it's going to be rough.
So, all right, let's. I got these names jingled. Everybody else say go to Munchies 420, but also go to jabroniu.com if you got a chance. And we got Andy Liner first pick.
Let's go.
We've got Cheese, second pick.
Wow.
We've got Drew, third pick. And James, fourth pick.
Ooh. Oh, James.
Man, all the way in the back.
Hey, you get back-to-back reds, though. You know?
That's true. You're right.
Right.
Yeah.
I believe
that's what people at the gas station say, you know?
It's a bloody back end.
Packs.
Bloody back in. Oh, God.
Bloody back in. What? Tune in for our sex position draft coming soon.
Yeah. I've used my steel card. Cheese had a steel card. Do you guys have one? Andy, you used one, right?
I used my KA rule.
Oh, you use your KA rule. That's right.
My re-rack, if you will. So.
Then you two both still have one.
I still have one. Yep.
Okay.
That's right. But let's get this thing started off right. In my opinion, this is the greatest redhead that has ever lived. We're doing living ones, and he's still living. But this man...
I would hope so.
...took late-night television to a new place, and I'm taking Conan O'Brien.
He took him.
Prime-time redhead.
You know what's crazy about this is Ranker has Conan listed as the 30th top redhead, which is insane to me.
No way.
He is like literally a top three, if anything. You know what I mean?
To me, he's a clear-cut one.
He definitely is, but like I'm just saying, like it's unacceptable to have him any lower than three.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this dude, it's one of those things where... you know, when you have like a LeBron or Jordan or like a Montana or Brady or whatever, you can go whatever order you want. To me, it's Letterman and Conan that are the goats of late night television.
And, agreed.
You know, Conan just he did it a different way, so much so that they tried to like F with him, move him around, and he was just so damn good that it didn't matter. He was also less reliant on guests than, say, some of the top tier late night people are. Like, you're watching his show, and it doesn't matter who the guest is because you're just tuning in for a damn good time with Conan.
100%. Yeah.
Best characters, best sketches in late night for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Like, best monologue, in my opinion, in late night.
Yeah.
Yep.
I always love the pocket dance. You know,
the pocket dance.
Yeah, I love the I love that so much. And the self-deprecation. I don't know. Like, I'm a huge Conan fan. So
and who did Paul Rudd give the Mac and Me bit to?
Exactly. Right.
Conan, you know?
Fucking A.
Even like now, like he's doing like the stuff like he brings in like the people, like his assistant, like what's her name, Sona or whatever. And he's got like all the like, I don't know. He does such a good job with his, like, it's even if it's a character or if it's just a person who works there, like it's a community he's built, like, and it's really cool to see.
Hell yeah.
Check out. Go ahead, Cheese.
Sorry. The Conan had that greatest, longest, which is my favorite joke. A lot of people are just like, what the hell just happened? But Norm Macdonald told that moth joke.
Yes.
That whole model, like that. And it just like, it was one of those things. And it really reminds me of pro wrestling. Cause in my mind, everything goes back to pro wrestling in some way, shape or form. But it's like, it happened to me yesterday on the show. It was like, hey, can you give us as close to 20 minutes as you can give us? And like, I was like, okay. I'm just going to use a lot more cheese. And they're like, we don't care. That's fine. Just do it. And so that's,
I need more cheese.
Yeah. That's sort of what happened with Norm Macdonald on that. I don't know if you guys have all seen that.
Yes.
That joke.
We did a Norm Macdonald thing and we referenced it.
Yeah,
I that's right. I did. I listened to that because I was such a, like, I just had this craving for anything Norm Macdonald. I love Norm. Like, he's my favorite comedian. But like that monologue where he goes on there and they went to a commercial and Conan was like, hey, we need you for a little bit longer. You know, one guest got bumped or something happened.
Yeah.
And they went off on that whole thing. And like that exists in the Conan universe.
Yeah. Yep.
Like that's it's one of the many cogs in that wheel that you just can't take away.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes when you get too big, they can take some of that stuff away.
Yeah.
But Conan, no matter how big he got, never lost that, which is a very rare thing to have. But yeah, last thing, check out Ice Cube, Kevin Hart, and Conan all together. They did it twice, like Lyft or Uber or whatever. Absolutely hysterical. It's one of my go-tos when I'm feeling down or sad. I'll just put that on, and I can't help but laugh. And it's because of Conan. You know, Conan's the funniest one in the car of those guys. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah, shout out Conan.
Amazing.
All right. Drew, put cheese on the clock.
I was going to say, wait, I thought it was cheese.
Right, yeah.
All right. So, here's the deal, fellas. This one might not be in your top list, but I'm going to snag this guy up. Rupert Grint.
Whoa, okay.
That's a good one. That's definitely probably where I was headed.
Also a plug for this week at Trivia with Cheese, Monday Night Cheese, is going to be about the theme of Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone.
Oh, shit. Hey,
okay.
So,
all right.
That also, I was coming up with Harry Potter questions because I do not rely on BS. I'm not a template guy when it comes to these things. I rely on my own templates, but I come up with my own questions for custom trivia nights and stuff like that. And I got a lot of Rupert Grint material that I went over. I didn't do a lot of those questions about Ron Weasley, so to speak, but it was just like he was in every little thing. He was such a major player. And I really think that we should respect Mr. Grint for getting himself out there after Harry Potter. Like, he even, like, all of the people that were the big names in that series. They're trying different roles. Yeah. Even Daniel Radcliffe, who's got more money than God from
love him here.
And all that, that whole series and everything, he doesn't have to work, but he's still going out there and trying new stuff. And so is Rupert Grant. Yeah.
Dude, so check out Servant on Apple TV. Rupert Grant plays the brother-in-law, and he is so fucking good. He's like one of the best parts of that show.
When I started watching that, I'm so glad you said that. When I started watching that, I was like, dude, he has completely shed himself of Ron Weasley in this role.
Oh, yeah.
Gangster ass name, by the way, Ron Weasley.
Yeah, it is. And he was my favorite Harry Potter character, too. So, like, yeah, that's a big one for me.
I think he was mine as well.
I think as a non-Harry Potter fan, like, he was my favorite, too.
I have a Rupert Grint, or I have a Ron Weasley, like, wand, like, replica wand.
You're toting Ron's wand?
I do. I tote Ron's wand all over the place.
No big deal, he says.
Yeah. Also, in Knock at the Cabin, that also has old Big Dave in it. So,
that's right.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Shout out, Roop.
Yeah.
I like that. That's a good pick.
Ginny Weasley could get it, too. I'll tell you what.
100%. Yeah.
Okie dokie. Come on now. It's Bill Burr. Sell it. I'm just gonna say it, and yeah, I mean,
I had him right there, right below Conan for me.
Yeah, he's. I mean,
he shaves his head though. How do you feel about that? As a ginge, as a pro ginge, he shaves his head.
Hey, you know, look, I'm probably should be at that point myself, but I'm just holding on to those strands that I got. I understand it. I, you know, as a ginge, it hurts, but as a balding man, I get it, man. Like,
yeah.
You do what you gotta do.
If you want to know about that demographic, just look up Bill Burr's wife.
That's the crazy thing. A ginger, like, got himself a black woman. You gotta love that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's a big deal. It's a big deal for that community.
That's what Drew was referencing earlier. Yes. Yeah, there's something there.
Yeah.
You're right. Oh, yeah.
There's
something about reverse pigment, you know, the opposite pigment.
Reverse pigment.
Yeah. It's, fucking hilarious. I mean, I think his first stand up was about 20, like his actual full hour special was like 20 years ago. And he's just been filming ever since, putting one out like almost every year now, every other year. Like,
the legendary Philadelphia performance.
Yes, absolutely.
That's another one of those things I'll just put on, even though the quality is absolute shit.
Yes.
I'll put it on and just listen to him absolutely going in on these fans for 10 minutes and basically flipping them around. That was like the most negative crowd. It's unbelievable. A masterclass.
Yes, and speaking of which, I know somebody out there, like, I think there's a really good opportunity for like a podcast for like people like who are driven, you know, like by themselves to, you know, create something or have something good in their life, a business or whatever. Now this guy, he went out there and would actually like, he would purposely go to like the, you know, quote unquote black clubs. Because he knew he had to work that much harder to win them over.
Yeah.
And that was like, that's where he would like, he was like, I would put myself in these situations to fail. And if I could win them over, I could win any fucking club in America over. So, yeah. Goldberg. Plus, Money Morning Podcast is like one of the first podcasts. This shit's still going. It's literally just him and a microphone. Like, to do that shit for like 15 years is insane. Crazy. So,
honestly, that is so inspiring because I don't catch every single one, but I'm a big podcast fan from way back, like since their inception. And he was one of the ones that I've always subscribed to. And he was doing it. It didn't, especially when everybody was getting started, you know, Mm-hmm. He didn't care about monetization. He didn't care about it. It was like plowing through.
Yeah.
It was amazing because he would just give you his thought. And like, he is so smart too with his comedy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
I feel like he's one of the last remaining non-cancelable people, if that makes sense. Yeah. Like, in the sense of, like, I feel like he can say literally kind of whatever he wants, and there's kind of a freedom to that. He's not saying anything ignorant, but, like, at the same time, he's going to tell you exactly what he thinks and feels, and there's, like, not a lot of people that could get away with going kind of where he goes, essentially.
Yeah.
Well, there's a true fact-based justification behind what he says, you know? So, like, some people, like, some comics will say things just for shock or just to make a, get a laugh or an outrageous statement. Not necessarily just comics, but, like, a lot of people.
Yeah.
But he's just, he will... I love listening to the rant because you go on a journey with him because he's real. I'm going to say this. And like you said, plowing away, plowing through whichever one he says, you keep going with him
because
he's going to show you like, this is why I said it. I'm not just saying this for, to get a reaction. Like this is a legit science behind what I'm saying.
Yeah.
There's one thing, like,
he's so good.
Seeing him last year, like, he was, he got talking about abortion, and that was when it was, like, super, super hot. And, like, you know, he just said something. He's like, you know, I do believe it's a woman's choice. And then, like, you know, every fucking female in there is just like, yeah. And he's like, ladies, you know who I am. Stop cheering. Because although it is your choice, I still think blah, blah, blah. Like,
yeah.
Also, shout out F is for Family.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good. It's so
it is.
Yeah.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
All right, Drew.
Great job.
James. All right. It's me. Here we go.
it's going to be my new thing.
Always my pick.
I think there's a clear front runner right now, but I don't think I'm going to take him.
Okay.
I'm going to go with a guy who may not be as high up on everyone's list, but I'm just a really big fan of this guy. And I think that he's super funny and super irreverent, and every time you see him in something, you get I feel like people get excited because he is so funny and entertaining.
And I'm going stuff out of the suitcase. I know where you're going.
I'm going Alan Tudyk.
Oh.
Tudyk.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's not where I was going.
Yeah. He'll get picked just off of who he is, but
he'll get picked. But Alan Tudyk, is it two dicks or one dick? But either way,
singular
two dick.
I saw this guy in Firefly. He's like one of the best characters in that show. He does a show called Resident Alien right now, which is very fucking good and funny and like
so fucking funny.
Yeah, then he, like, it's the movies that he releases, like Tucker and Dale versus Evil, just like
Tucker
like,
and Dale.
Yeah, like it's like the guy, just everything that he puts out is like, it's unexpected and it's fucking good every time. You know what I mean? So I'm a big fan of him, and I think that he I think he should get more respect in the world.
That's right. He was Steve the Pirate in Dodgeball.
Fuck yeah, exactly. So... Which was one of the best.
More of a pirate than you'll ever be.
Right. But that's like what you're saying, James. It's like, wait, what is he doing?
Yeah. You always really remember his characters too. Yeah.
I really want to check out Resident Alien. I haven't seen that one.
You can watch him on Peacock. It's so damn funny.
Yeah.
Oh.
And not only that, but it's like good. It's like heartwarming too. You know, like there's good stuff about it. Like,
but like he plays this alien trying to be a human, and the stuff he does is, I just think, okay, there's this one scene where he's like, I got my little yellow leaf fan here. Like,
he's got, yeah,
like, he's at like a cookout or something, and like there's kids playing basketball, and he's got his plate of food and he's eating, like standing there watching them play, and he's just, they're like, the ball like comes by him and they're like, hey man, a little help, and he just like drops the plate of food like that and just goes and gets the like, it's something so little that just, I was one of those like, I had to pause to laugh. So funny. But the way I love it, he's so good. That's a great pick.
A ton of voice roles too.
So. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see here. You know what? Now I'm going to go with a guy who I think I kind of got onto this. I'm going to get this guy because I know somebody else will, and I'm going to get him now, even though maybe he's not as high on the list. But like, this is a comedian. This is a comedian.
Don't you do it?
That, don't you do it?
Oh no.
I just recently kind of got into him, and it's based off of you guys like telling me about like what to look at and what to watch and shit, and like
son of
super fucking funny. He's on an amazing show called Dave, and I'm going Andrew Santino.
Oh,
I knew I had to take him now, otherwise he would be fucking gone. But like,
I was gonna take him. Yeah, I was gonna take him next.
This dude is gonna be a guy like Bill Burr, I think, in the future, where like he's gonna be an older dude that like just can, I mean, he's already in it.
Oh like, yeah. Like
his acting chops are like even
higher.
Yeah.
Exactly.
He had was
he's a handsome dude.
Him like teetering that line.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that he's definitely going to be one of those guys that like, cause he's thoughtful in his comedy, but he says shit that's like fucking out there, but he backs it up in a certain way. Like, I don't know. I just think, he's super fucking funny, and just kind of going through like clips of him on podcasts or his own podcasts and shit.
Yeah.
They're all just fucking hilarious, like nonstop hilarity, dude.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And,
very good pick.
Yeah.
Damn it.
I knew that this would,
Hurts. That one hurts.
I knew it would be gone quick.
Yeah.
And there's another guy out there that probably deserves to be in the top four picks or whatever, but
yeah,
he's, you know, I'm,
he's
just
gonna get picked, though.
I know.
I love this one. He's one of the newer, I wouldn't say up and cut, like, this is what I like about this dude. He's got legit acting chops, right?
Yeah.
But also he's staying firm and doing stand up repeatedly and doing podcasts with like Bobby Lee. Mm-hmm. Their chemistry is unbelievable.
It's so
bad
good.
Friends.
Yeah.
Bobby and Santino it's incredible, but like, yeah. So I think him acting wise is going to just keep going up and up, cause he's talented as hell as an actor. Whereas like Bill Burr, like obviously comedy legend, a GOAT, one of the top 5, top 10 of all time, wherever you put him. Bill Burr's like talks about like, yeah, I just kind of go out there and, you know, do my thing or whatever. Sometimes I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going out there having some fun. Whereas like Santino, like legit acting wise is talented. So,
yeah, I think Burr, surprises me too. Like his on-screen presence, like him in Breaking Bad, him in, you know, like,
the Pete Davidson movie, the King Long
Staten,
Island,
King of Staten, King's Island.
Staten Island.
Yeah, yeah.
He was awesome in that.
Yeah. So, yeah. These guys, I think these guys are the future of comedy, or at least Santino.
I like it, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Solid.
Oh, yeah. I'm keeping track.
Wait. Back to James.
Nope.
Oh, that was my second. So
that was the second one. He went two dick.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Two dicks and then one dick.
Two dicks and one dick. Got it.
That's the other thing about redheads that are just facts people don't talk about. 50% of them, two dicks. Yeah.
It's luck of the draw, you know? Hey,
yeah,
redhead,
Drew got the other half where they got long balls.
I okay. So there's definitely a theme. Well, I mean, I think a lot of this will be comedy driven because, you know, most of these guys, you know, they had to deal with some hardships, you know, everybody picking on the little fucking ginger kid. So,
right,
they,
so you learn to fight back in your own way.
Yeah, exactly. You just learn to fucking roll with it. I mean, that's what I look. I always said that, like when I was a kid, like people would be like, make fun of me because I was fat or, you know, redhead. Like, yeah. And then I'd roll with it too. And it immediately takes the sting out of like what they said.
Right.
Like it's
you're
just
like you come in and say, oh, yeah. Yeah. Like, well, fuck, I can't call him the Kool-Aid man now.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're like, who is this alien that I'm dealing with right now? I can't make fun of him. What? He's making fun of himself?
And his then jokes were better else than mine. But I'm going to go with a very funny actor. Has just like some of the best movies that I like, funny movies that I really enjoy. And it's Simon Pegg.
Simon Pegg.
Nice. Yeah. Great.
That's a great pick.
Yeah. Shaun of the Dead. And I mean, all the Hot Fuzz. End of, what is it? Not This is the End.
End of the World.
End of the World. End of the World. Yeah.
At the End of the World.
Force Awakens.
At World's End.
The World's End.
At World's End. Yeah. 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 The Cornettos are essential. The Cornettos trilogy are essential to any, like, if you got Spaced,
yeah.
Did you guys watch Spaced?
TV show, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't seen that one. No.
I proudly purchased that through Blockbuster before you could get it commonly. Cause I think I think now you can either see it on Netflix or Amazon Prime. But when I worked at Blockbuster, I bought it on DVD because you could buy things that weren't region coded. You guys remember region coding?
You could
buy region coded things, or but like if it was region coded for the UK, it wouldn't work in your DVD player over here unless you had some little black market kit to mod your DVD player or whatever. But I bought a non-region coded that was specific to Blockbuster as a company, so people could rent it, because they had like a deal with BBC, and this is before Netflix struck their deal with BBC and made all their catalog like available on their streaming service or whatever. But I loved Space. Like, there was a lot of the pop culture tribute and stuff like that that they did that was so much better than the stuff that was going on over here, like more witty. And Simon Pegg was just, I'm not saying he got worse, but he was on a different level back then. And that was, sheesh, that was like 20 years ago or something, man.
Yeah.
Dude. And to me, best part of Mission Impossible is outside of Tom Cruise, fucking Simon Pegg's character.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I love him. Yeah. I love that.
Big Simon Pegg guy.
Cheesy. Oh.
It was a great pick. It was going to be one of mine, but good for you. So we're on me.
Yeah.
My turn.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. Tiny bit controversial. Has created some good things. Has been in some good things, always cast very appropriately, whether he's an annoying jerk or a lovable friend, Seth Green.
Okay, I thought you were going
Seth Green.
I thought that's where Drew was going last time. I thought you were
I know. I think we're in the same spot. I think we're in the same spot, but.
Green's so underrated.
Yeah. He's underrated. Who I was talking about that should have been in the top four, I think, just because of, you know, the time that
Robot
he's been
Chicken.
Out there.
Yeah.
Scotty in the Austin Powers movies.
Yes.
And like he, you know, and
he's been doing it since the 80s.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is it Buffy the Vampire Slayer?
Buffy, he was amazing in that. He was amazing in like pretty much everything that he's done, because like I said, he's either like the perfect little jerk or the lovable character in I'm trying to think of this. It was like this one-off movie that he did with Matthew Lillard, Into the Wild. Is that No.
Without a paddle.
It was a copycat, or this like a playoff of that, and they did the same similar story, whatever. But he shows actual range, and but how funny he is with the voices that he does in the creation of Robot Chicken,
dude.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of stuff that you don't realize that Seth Green has his hand in. Like, for instance, he's got a lot more involvement in Family Guy than what you'd think, too.
Right.
You know, 100%. Yeah.
Doing the voice of Chris, but then he also does writing and stuff. And yeah, he's a very funny guy. And he's very highly regarded by a lot of his peers, too.
Yeah. Well, what I like about him, too, is he will put weird shit in where, like, things maybe don't fit. So for instance, he did Howard the Duck's voice in the Guardians of the Galaxy when he popped up.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, weird shit like that that Seth Green, you know, is doing. Also a wrestling fan, and he was like in that weird the Al Yankovic story, which we talked about last week on.
I
Seth
really
Green's
need to watch
awesome.
That.
It is so good. It'll be right up your alley.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to. If it didn't fall off me out of for lack of one, it's just, you know, time and all that stuff. But you know, you're talking about that stuff. Like you talk about like the Hollywood punch ups when somebody gets a script. Mm-hmm. And I think I listened to a podcast that Patton Oswalt was on. And he was heavily involved in those punch ups for the scripts where he just like, basically you get a funny guy and you go in and they go in, they look at the script, they're paid like a really good amount of money, which I wish I was thought well enough to do that, because like, that's a good one. It's a good way to make money. And two, it's like, it really stretches and flexes your creative muscle because there's no ego in it. Like, you're doing it for the studio. It's already written. It's already there. You're probably not going to get a credit. You just do it and they pay you money and you make it funnier or whatever. And sometimes if you heavily edit it, they'll give you that. But anyway, like Seth Green, from what I understand, he does a lot of that.
Oh, yeah.
And you were talking about earlier, like he puts the weird stuff in there. Like he makes scripts weirder. Like,
yeah.
And we need that. We've always needed it. And he's kind of been that voice that has always been like,
yeah,
hey, you know what? I'm going to put something in here about, I'm going to make a wrestling reference, or I'm going to make you know, like, I think even when he was on the Austin Powers, the part where Scotty was just like, hey, I have a gun in my room, in my house. I'll go get it. I shoot him. We're done. From what I understand, that was like, that wasn't necessarily improv, but it was like, he asked Mike Myers, like, hey, do you care? Yeah. And they were, and him and the director were like, yeah, it sounds good. Do it.
That's awesome.
Like, and that's such a nerdy line, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Cause if you're thinking about it, you're just like, why doesn't he just get a gun and shoot? We've all said it.
Screamed
it at our TV at least once. Just get a gun and shoot him.
Yeah, I love it.
But then there's no story. But the way he weaved it in was hilarious. But yeah, he's responsible for a lot of that stuff.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, I love that pick. Oh, boy. Okay. All right. I'm going to go a different route here. I'm going to go with a dude that is... a Renaissance man, if you will. He's been on your TV screen in many different ways. He's had a little stint as a wrestler even. And I'm taking the one, the only, Bam Bam, Mr. Baklava, Action Bronson.
Wow.
Oh, shit. That's a good one.
Also in the King of Stand Up and Island.
What's that? Yeah, yeah. And he played in Mad Max Fury Road.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Weirdest fucking like feature I feel like I've ever seen was I'm like, is that actually Bronson?
Like, oh, my God. I didn't even realize that was him until you just said that now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was he? Wait, I don't even realize it now.
He was
the baby thing, like,
yeah,
at the like at top, like at the top there was you know what I'm saying, Drew, help me out here.
The car that he was driving or whatever.
It's I don't remember
how to explain it, like,
what's that? You don't remember?
I just don't know, like, I don't know how to explain, like,
I don't either. It was like a fat baby thing.
Yeah.
And it was like he was up top, like in this thing, in this little, I don't know. You'll be able to totally tell, and you'll just be like, that's the most hilarious, like, random feature that's ever been out there. But like, also you got you know, Fuck That's Delicious, all of his like cooking stuff, and then I love his rapping style. You know, obviously Baby Blue, Mr. Wonderful was like so awesome when it came out, and like I've just been an action fan since then. I know, Drew, you're a massive fan, so that's why I was like, I'm taking him now, because I was like, there's no freaking way he's getting back around. But
he really is a renaissance man. That's awesome. Yeah. Pick.
Like, he does everything, and he's dropped so much. Like, he was in The Irishman.
Yeah.
Like, and he wrestled on AEW with Hook. You know, it's just, yeah, like,
that's right.
The dude does freaking everything. So, yeah, I love him.
Man, I can't believe nobody has a picture of him. Like,
yeah, in Mad Max.
In Mad Max.
I'm trying. That's what I was just trying to look up, to be honest with you. Like,
yeah, I think I found it.
This is the closest I could find, like, that you can see him, but remember,
yeah,
that's
what I saw.
Yeah, remember when, no, he was this guy?
That was him.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Oh, it's my so funny. God!
See why I couldn't like really, yeah, fully explain it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's amazing. That is amazing.
Also, shout out to what was it? Action Bronson gets high and watches Ancient Aliens with his friends.
Oh my God. Oh God, I love watching him just eat.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Which is such a weird thing to say. Like,
he's
like one of my top eaters of all time to watch.
He'd always be like, whatever they were making, like, yeah, throw some octopus. Like, he loved octopus. He was always trying to throw that shit on everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I put that shit on everything.
Oh man, he's dropped so much weight too.
Oh, what, yeah,
Frank's Red Hot? No, octopus.
Yeah. Let's throw some octopus on it. Yeah. Action. All right. Look, I'll do it. I'll rip the Band-Aid off. If what happened didn't happen, this dude would have been a top four pick.
Here it is.
So I got to take one of the greatest comedians of all time, Louis C.K.
Oh, shit.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it.
Because,
yeah, obviously what he did was wrong. There's so much worse stuff that people could do, and like, I feel like this dude is deserving of that second chance that is kind of happening right now.
Yeah,
you know.
Here's the thing. Everybody's deserving of a second chance. And
absolutely.
If you have sincerely apologized for it, which he has, you know, he sincerely learned from his fucking mistake. Like, I don't see why you can't fucking move on with your life. Like, that's the whole fucking point of a prison system, is to rehabilitate some. Like, if somebody's learned, it's the people that are fucking phony apologists and everything like that. Those are the ones who don't deserve it. Or some people just fucking dig themselves further in a hole and say, like, no, I don't think anything I did was ever wrong. That's not what he's done about it. And like, people gave him shit, like, oh, he's making jokes about it. It's like, well, yeah, he's, what else is he going to do?
That's literally his job.
That's his career. Yeah.
Well, Well, it's what we were talking about earlier. We were joking about it, but when you were getting bullied as a kid for being chubby and having red hair, you take it off the table when you joke about yourself or you joke about something you've done or an attribute that you have. And that's exactly what I think Louis was doing. Was he when he was joking about it, he was just trying to diffuse and deflect in a self-deprecating and safe way, as far as he could for himself. He sought help. He publicly apologized. He said he was wrong. He made an error. I mean, look, rewind time. Back before everybody had social media and before social media even existed, which we can remember that time.
Yeah.
Go back into that time. And I'm not saying all of us, but I'm saying maybe some of the things that we've done or witnessed or were secondhand to or whatever. If there was social media, it would have been blown way bigger out of proportion. And I think that there's some certain things where there's like there's that mob mentality where people are just kind of, you know, they caress the mistakes that people have made and they celebrate them and say, no. And some rightfully so, and but very few, but most of it is like, let's keep this outcry going because that opens up a spot for me or for someone else or whatever. Yeah. So let's take his spot and then let's put somebody else in there or let's make it a platform for myself. Having said all that, he never doubled down. He never said, oh, fuck those people, whatever. Like he didn't do any of that stuff. He just went in and he said, I did wrong. I've sought help. I'd like to move forward now with my life, if that's okay with you.
Yeah.
And then, and most importantly, he is one of the very few people in the entertainment business that is kind of rallying and railing against the machines of like, you buy everything on his website.
Yeah. Right. Period. Right. I think he was one of the first people to do that. Direct to the consumer.
Yeah. He was doing it before. Like,
yeah.
You know, like he even had a fucking TV show that he put out on there.
Yeah.
Correct.
He just released a movie last year that he did on there. Like,
what was the name of the TV show? I bought it. It was, Louis?
It was the bar.
Something
I know what you're talking about.
Something and so and so. It was the bar, and Alan Alda was in it, and
Laurie Metcalf.
I know what you're talking about.
I always liked about that show too is like they'd have like I feel like I talked about it a lot, but there was like there'd be like he didn't adhere to any time either. Like whatever the episode needed to be, like there was one that was like 16 minutes, and then there was one that was like an hour. Like, how does it fit the story? Like, he didn't, like, it has to be 22 minutes. You know, he wasn't, there was nothing commercial about it, like, which I thought was really cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Also, I want to throw this out there because I haven't got to, and it's something, this movie's, like, in my top probably 25 of all time. He smashed it in American Hustle.
Oh, yes.
He was so damn good in American Hustle.
100%. 100%.
I was just talking about that movie.
But like, watch if you're just kind of curious. Like, I get it. Some people are just gonna be like, "No, fuck it," and that's fine, totally cool. But if you want to just like check him out, see what he's doing. The podcast he had with Theo Vaughn was super interesting because there's a lot of people that just don't get Theo Vaughn, and it felt like. It was really cool because Louis was like asking him questions and they played off each other so incredibly well. So much so that like there was a ton of people in the comments that were just like, we have got to like get these two their own show because like Louis gets Theo in a way that most people don't get Theo, you know? So
I haven't seen that, but I could see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I just mixed up American Hustle with American Gangster. but both very
Louis C.K. was playing Denzel's part.
Yeah. Both very good.
Yeah, it went right into my head. I was right there with you.
Together, he's like Denzel. I'm like, yep, that's the one.
Yeah, I know. You guys just went with it. Yeah.
But they're both, when Louis they're both said, King Kong ain't got shit on me. Like, it was awesome.
Yeah.
All right.
Back to cheese.
Back to the cheese.
Okay. Back to I'm glad that you chose that. That was the one
out of the way, because we haven't got to talk about him in a long time. And it's felt like, hey, at some point, like, it's time to talk about this man again.
Yeah. Yeah, that fucking Bill Cosby documentary. Like, how do you, these people did great things for certain communities, and yet, like, can you erase all that? Which, if you haven't watched it, I recommend that Showtime documentary. It's called We Need to Talk About Bill Cosby. It's what's the guy? W. Kamau Bell.
Yeah.
One last thing on it. I mean, I completely agree with what you said. I think that we are, and I think Louis C.K. is a precursor, or is maybe somewhere in the middle, but he's a strong part of that wheel that's turning over certain things in society. We all know certain things are unforgivable. And you can't go back and seek help for and still be redemptive, but he's managed to do it. If there's people out there that say he's disgusting or whatever, here's the other thing. That's your prerogative. That's your whole thing. You don't have to watch him. If you're grossed out by him or you don't like it, whatever, don't watch. But I think he's part of that wheel that's turning, that everybody's just like, you know what, instead of outrage, what we could do is we could look at the situation closer and understand that there's nuance and that redemption and forgiveness are possible and all that kind of stuff. Just like what you said, Drew, I think you said it, is the whole reason we have the prison system is for rehabilitation. Like, if you're going to tell me something different, then you're telling me the whole prison system is a lie. Yeah. And by the way, Louis didn't do anything that put him in prison. Mm. So, exactly. You know, it's just one of those things. And so anyway, that's my little tidbit on that. I feel like we could do a whole podcast on that, like a draft redemption.
Oh, that would be a damn good one.
Be our last one. here's the people we've been wanting to talk about for 300 episodes.
Yeah, we've been talking about it, but it's been too bad. Taboo Tuesday draft pod.
Oh man. All right, cheese, what you got?
Another some lesser degree Renaissance man. Again, throw out political beliefs and all that kind of stuff. Looking at the body of work and what this man has been able to accomplish. And that man is Chuck Norris.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck. Yeah. I was just looking at him to see about getting him.
We had a whole like couple years of Chuck Norris jokes.
Yeah.
Like, that thing.
Yeah.
Went on for so damn long, and it was like pre Twitter and all of that. Like, people were emailing this shit to each other.
Yeah. Chuck Norris was a meme before memes existed.
Like, exactly.
Yeah.
The meme god, really.
Yeah. 100%. And you talking about that, that's triggered something in my brain. Emailing those Chuck Norris lines, like, there were a lot, that was the most, like, people would do the email chains in the office and you would see all these different jokes or whatever. And it's usually like, if it's not Chuck Norris related, it's like 1 to 3 lines. And there would be a lot of wingdings and stuff in between. And you'd forward it to like 10 people, or you'd be cursed forever or whatever. But the Chuck Norris jokes, there would be, you would have to print them out. because there were so many of them in an email chain, and some of them would repeat, and you'd have to go through and like, oh man. And then you just, people would just literally, back when water cooler talk was a thing, people would literally stand there and tell each other Chuck Norris, stuff, where it's just like all these amazing jokes and stuff. But here's the thing. He's not only that guy, like the meme, original meme goat. He's an actual martial artist.
Yeah.
Sidekicks is amazing.
I love that movie.
Amazing movie. Like as a kid, you remember watching that as a kid?
Oh, fuck yeah.
Like I thought it was the coolest. And those red like sparring shoes that they had. Yes. Like everything. And that was like post, I think it was post, or it might have been pre, but it was like what in the timeline of becoming a young man, you would watch like the Ninja Turtles and Three Ninjas and Surf Ninjas. Yeah. And then Sidekicks came in, and that was more adult because you're like, ooh, this is real like competition. Yeah. This isn't throwback Karate Kid. This is like in my wheelhouse. I could do, whatever. But not only that, like, he's getting up there and he's still doing like infomercials for like exercise equipment and staying in shape. And he's, he's amassed his fortunes. And what I love about him the most is what we talked about, like, sure, there are all those memes, but the way he's like, he dug into it himself.
Yeah. Put out a book.
But the whole thing, like he got into it, man. Like he didn't try and be too serious and no sell it. And just like, I'm not going to talk about any of that kind of stuff. I'm here to talk about my very important book or whatever. Like, no, he went into it, and I loved Walker, Texas Ranger. Dude, I'm not going to lie.
Walker, Texas is one of the great shows. Like, it's one of those, I like to call them Sunday afternoon shows that like, where you're just like, oh man, like it's one of those days where maybe you can just sit back and chill. And all of a sudden you're like, say there's not sports on in season, or you're not a sports fan. You could throw on Walker, Texas, and all of a sudden you're like, shit, I just watched 5 hours of TV on accident.
Yeah. Well, and there's always at least two episodes back to back, at least. Yeah. Like you get at least 2 hours of entertainment. Yeah.
So I watched it back in the day, back before I was watching wrestling like really hardcore, like the Monday night. It was before the Monday Night Wars, where it's Dr. Quinn, Medicine Woman, and then Walker, Texas Ranger.
Hell yeah.
We're on that CBS lineup.
Yeah.
And then there's even the line in Talladega Nights where it's like, Ricky Bobby named his sons Walker and Texas Ranger. And his wife said something about, yeah, if they were soft, we would have named them Dr. Quinn and Medicine Woman, because that old CBS lineup.
Yeah.
But like I watched those like when they were in prime time on CBS, but then like pre Monday night or during the Monday Night Wars, when they were getting cranked up on USA Network, you would, before Raw, they were always looking for filler. USA Network's always been this like kind of revolving door of just like, give us content, even if it's syndicated. And they, for a while, it was La Femme Nikita, and then it was Pacific Blue. And then they're like, you know what? We're calling an Old Faithful, Walker, Texas Ranger, baby.
Yeah.
And you turn in
at 7 o'clock and you're like, yeah, I'll watch the lead up.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like,
I've seen the last five minutes of every Walker, Texas Ranger.
Right. Me and my grandma would always watch those together. Like she would turn it on. She's like, you can watch your, I'll leave the, and it was another thing too. Like you felt like you were going to miss something if you change the channel.
Yeah.
So like, she was like, I'll leave it on and I'll just watch Walker. And then I'll let you know when wrestling's on. Okay.
Yes, that was perfect. I do know exactly what you're talking about.
You know, the ultimate testament to Chuck Norris is that Superman wears Chuck Norris pajamas to sleep. So remember that shit.
Absolutely.
All right, Jerusky.
Is it actually me?
It is you.
Okay. All right. Andy, you fucking name dropped him earlier, and I was kind of wondering why, but I'm gonna go with if we're 2% of Americans, it's got to be even less for Mexicans. So give me Canelo Alvarez.
Oh yeah.
Oh shit.
Yeah, I don't know. In my head, I was like, sometimes I'm like, okay, like I feel like this person's probably not gonna go. Yeah. So, so I can name drop him. So yeah, I just. it also worked out with the scheme, and I was like, well, he's also redhead, whatever, I'll just throw it in.
I remember when he was like, he first hit like 2012-11 ish. I remember the one this guy I worked with, he was a Mexican dude, and he was just like, he was talking to me about it. So he always called me Canelo or whatever because
redhead.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, I'll take that one, man. That's awesome. Like, he's fucking killing it. It was, you know, back before his Triple G fights and all that stuff. So
you don't get this much. You don't get many redheaded Mexicans.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, if we're 2% of Americans, it's got to be even less.
Yeah.
I think it was 2% of the world.
Oh, 2% of the world? Oh, okay.
Yeah, and a majority of them are in Ireland.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That makes sense.
Probably like all the whole United Kingdom. But yeah, dude, it's, I mean, that dude went, like, when he was hot, like, he was fucking, I mean, he's a hell of a boxer when he was, you know.
Damn right.
Yeah. That's prime. Yeah.
I mean, yeah,
I mean, there's someone else out there, but he knows. He's also got some issues that I don't know if I want to take. So
Right. Yeah, 58-2 though. Like, he just fought Triple G back in September of 2022 and won a unanimous decision. So he's still doing it at, you know, an incredibly high level.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, how old is he? 30. He's 30. He's only 32.
Oh, like, fuck.
That doesn't even make sense.
I thought he was way older than that.
Like, he must have, turned pro like right at 18. Like
how do you go 58-2 when you're 32 years old?
I know.
32 is like technically like fighting prime age.
Yeah,
that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Also, I think he was cast in the new Creed.
Oh shit!
So I don't know what he does, but yeah.
Has that come out yet? I'm out of the loop.
I think it just came out.
I think it's, yeah. It came out like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
A week ago.
I'm excited because I Jonathan Majors got himself all jacked up, and you get to see Michael B. Jordan versus Jonathan Majors. Sounds like a good ass time.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of stuff about it, about Creed 3, and like, people talk very highly of Jonathan Majors in that movie, like, as far as him being a villain and doing his thing.
Love so, it, man.
Fucking A.
Oh, man.
All right, James. All right, so I'm about to take a real motherfucking actor. All right?
Yeah. Whoa. Okay.
This guy,
I got you.
When I was young, this guy had a TV show on Disney that I fucking loved.
Okay, I'm erasing the
name. And then, erase it. And then, he did a movie with Kirsten Dunst that I fucking loved, right?
Okay.
And then I followed his career beyond that. And movie beyond has been him, like, expanding his acting chops and doing shit that, like, he gets into a movie and he fucking... He makes that movie fucking real. Like,
he's
I love this.
Yeah, he's got to be method because he's the character every time.
He is fucking insane, and I'm going with Ben fucking Foster. Yeah. This dude is the real fucking deal when it comes to actors.
Yeah.
He deserves all the fucking accolades. Every fucking role, every movie that he's ever been, he's elevated the actor that he's working with to levels that they didn't even know they could achieve because he's that fucking good.
Yeah.
So,
jeez.
Like, there was a movie that called The Messengers with him and Woody Harrelson, and it was a movie about they were the guys that would go to the homes of soldiers that got killed in war and tell the families or whatever. And like, the movie was so fucking good, and Ben Foster's character, like, it's like heartbreaking. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. There's a ton of shit. Like, he was in fucking the X-Men movie.
He's Archangel. Right.
He was Andy. He was an alpha dog. He's the fucking the crazy guy.
Yes, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, like, he smashed alpha dog.
Yeah, 3-10.
Yeah. Exactly. Like, and you don't even realize, like, once you see him, you're like, oh fuck, this is gonna be a good fucking movie. If you see him,
Hustle, which I picked last week in our best movies of 2022.
Exactly. He was in fucking Emancipation. And like, Will Smith, when Will Smith did the slap, Will Smith actually apologized directly to Ben Foster, because he was like, I just fucked up your chances of like, you put an amazing performance and I fucked it all up. Which, you know, Will Smith, what a fucking...
Dang.
Hold on. You know what I mean? I like Will Smith. Don't get me wrong. But Chris Rock was right.
I would like to at some point, either off or on the podcast, talk about Chris Rock's recent stand-up special that he did, addressing.
We have Raven and Sheedy coming up. And it's going to be brought up.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah.
Spoiler alert.
But ultimately, all you have to know is that if you see Ben Foster listed as an actor that's in a movie and you thought, oh, this movie looks interesting, that movie's going to be fucking amazing.
100%. 100% every time.
Also, two episodes of Freaks and Geeks. Who knew?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that show, the show that he did when he was young, was called Flash Forward, and it was it was a show that I fucking loved as a kid. And then the movie Get Over It with Kirsten Dunst was like one of my favorite movies, like in middle school, high school age. So like, I don't know, I've been with Ben Foster for a long fucking time, and just watching him progress into what he is today, like, that dude is a fucking, he's the real fucking deal,
dude. You've been with him before he was folding five.
That's exactly. Fuck.
James,
great pick.
Back to you.
Oh,
yeah, that was unexpected, but awesome.
Hell yeah. All right.
I like when we get like guys like Ben Foster that we're pulling, because like,
yeah,
we don't talk about that.
Yeah, we don't talk about him enough, for sure.
Yeah.
He deserves all the praise.
Fuck Bruno. We don't talk about Ben Foster. You know?
Where should I go next, James? Here? I'm trying to decide where I want to go next.
There's one I'm surprised you haven't picked.
Oh, yeah? I wonder who it is.
TV personnel. TV person is what I'll say.
Oh, well, this guy's has been in a TV show, but I don't know if it's who you're talking about. But this guy's also like another dude that he shows up in a movie and he always elevates that movie or that role or whatever. And the dude is fucking, he kind of like popped up out of nowhere. And then next thing you know, everybody fucking liked him. Everybody was talking about him. Everybody was like, man, that motherfucker looks like a little fat baby Matt Damon. I'm going Jesse Plemons.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Good pick.
I like Jesse Plemons. Like, everything that he does, you see him in the movie, and next thing you know, that's going to be one
he's
of your favorite
movies. He's got a Kirsten Dunst thing going on.
Yeah. Exactly.
He's married to her, right, in real life?
Yes.
Oh, is that true?
Yeah. Yes.
I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
they married last year, but they have, or he has two children. I don't know. But they got married last year.
He was in my top movie of the year like 2 years ago as well, which is Game Night.
Dude,
remember he played the next door neighbor that they didn't want to invite.
He was so good in that.
He was so good in that. But then
he was an Irishman.
Yeah. Breaking Bad is when I first got introduced to him, and like he fucking blew the doors off of that role.
I'm thinking of ending things. If you haven't seen that, it's a movie Wes suggested, so just proceed with caution. But it is fucking wild, like thriller directed by Charlie Kaufman.
Oh shit. Like,
yeah, it is fucking wild. But yeah, this dude can act his ass off.
Yeah. Jesse Plemons is like, I can see like the future. His future is very, very bright. Like, mm-hmm. He's going to be doing movies that we talk about on this podcast for a long, long time coming. So,
yeah. And like,
yeah.
How I first saw him was Varsity Blues. No. Friday Night Lights. He was in Varsity Blues. What?
Was he really?
Holy shit.
Was he in the whipped cream bikini?
That's just wild. Was actually in that movie. And then he was also Landry in Friday Night Lights.
Oh shit.
Wow.
Damn. That's crazy.
Fucking A.
He gives me
some Jonah Hill vibes in like the sense of like people probably looked at like the person when they came on the scene and really didn't take him that serious. And then all of a sudden, boom, they go off to do these like fucking serious roles and absolutely smash it. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow, we have to take this person serious.
Yeah.
You know?
Hell yeah.
That's a great pick.
Oh, excuse me.
Wow. Okay. Drew, back to you.
All right. I'm going to go with a serious fucking actor.
Oh shit. Right,
I'm gonna write it down again.
Yeah. Let's see if you get it right this time. But I'm gonna go with one that I really love. There's two choices I could go with, but I think I'm gonna go the younger. So I'm going Domhnall Gleeson.
Oh,
yep.
I went with the other one.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Ex Machina, the Star Wars, the sequel trilogy, and About Time. Dude's awesome. Plus, like
Ex Machina. Woo.
Yeah,
love that movie.
I kind of talked about when I did the About Time thing with Scrump. It's like, you know, seeing this awkward looking ginger get a hot girl like what's her name? I just blanked on her name. But Rachel McAdams, like it's just like, yeah, it gives me a little hope, you know.
Love to see it. Bill Weasley.
Yeah,
he was a Weasley brother. Yeah.
That's right. He was a Weasley.
He was a fucking Weasley.
Weasley F baby.
Weasley F baby.
Please say the baby.
That's so good. There you go. Somebody, you have a fantasy football team name for next season.
That's a shirt. That's a shirt right there. Weasley F baby. Come on.
I know. Fucking
A. Kidding me?
Like you said, Ex Machina, like that's such a good movie, and so good. Like just the way he plays that role of being in put in that position of like here's this robot I made that's all of your fucking Pornhub searches are wrapped into one person, like
Yeah. Also, shout out to all the kids listening. Peter Rabbit and Peter Rabbit 2, Runaway.
Oh yeah, it's really why I love those movies.
Fucking A. Domhnall's the man, dude.
Yeah.
Back to cheese.
Cheese.
I'm not over Weasley F baby. If we're being honest, that is such a shirt like that, and that's a call out to all fresh gingers everywhere. This one is a I don't know if you'd say comedian, but he starred in more comedies than he did serious stuff, but he's an actor. little fellow by the name of Gene Wilder.
Fucking A.
Whoa.
But I think it didn't. Did he pass away?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dead. No. No, yeah. We're talking live. We're talking live. Yeah. Oh, no. That's right.
We'll
I'm
pretend
sorry.
We didn't hear that.
I flubbed. So I'll go with my next one, which was I'll steal it. And this is a serious.
Same applies. Hilarious.
Well, he can be. Brendan Gleeson.
There you go. Dom Hall's dad.
Back. Yeah.
Yeah. So he. I mean, in Bruges.
In Bruges is such a good fucking movie.
So good.
Yeah.
So good. I can't remember how many. I can't tell you how many times I recommended that to people at Blockbuster. Like when it first came out and people were coming in, it was like, you know, we had people who had the pass holder thing where they could rent unlimited movies or whatever, and I was just like. Well, in Bruges, and they're like, okay, yeah, I'll give it a shot. I've never heard of anybody in here. I'm like, Colin Farrell's in here, man. Settle down.
Yeah. Have you not seen Phone Booth? Come on.
Yeah. I recommended Phone Booth a time or two as well. I saw that when it first came out in theater. But Brendan Gleeson, you know, a lot of people they know his face, but they don't know his name.
Yeah.
And he, you know, great Irish actor.
He could win an award this year.
I think so, right?
It didn't hit me the same. Sometimes that just happens with movies. But The Banshees of Inisherin, I see a ton of people that are like, that was the best movie of last year. But I would say his best role ever is in Paddington 2 when he plays Knuckles McGinty. Paddington 2, baby! Let's go!
Oh, my God. You remember when they turned all the uniforms pink in that movie?
Dude, they just threw a red sock in.
I respectfully disagree, and I will say that his best performance was as Mad-Eye Moody, Professor Mad-Eye Moody.
Back in Professor Moody, yeah. Hell yeah.
And he I don't know, like he was just in that, but then
shit, so father just and like, son were in the same movie.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
It's not nepotism. They're both good, you know. Yeah,
I like that. That's a shirt too. It's not nepotism. They're both good. That's a quote. Pick it on the wall.
This is like the t-shirt that. Round.
But yeah, Brendan Gleeson is like he's not what you'd call handsome, but he's like got such a distinguished, like very completely Irish, you know, like, you know, British Isle look to him where you're just like,
yeah,
man, he ain't pretty, but damn, if he ain't ugly either,
he ain't,
you know?
He sure ain't.
Yeah.
Well, also there's the voice that kind of like drives it home. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He's got a trustworthy face and a trustworthy voice. It's like, if he did the news, like I'd believe everything he fucking said. You know what I mean?
100%. I would walk into traffic if he said, hey, go over there, mate, mark in the traffic.
Yeah.
Oh man, I love this. Okay. Oh, okay. Fourth pick. You know, this is a dude that there's times I hate him. There's times I absolutely love him. And it's a fucking roller coaster with this guy, but I'm also like here for it. I'm here to ride this roller coaster. This dude put out one of my favorite documentaries of all time. And I'm going to take the talented, the opinionated Michael Rapaport.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
He, like I said, he's so often like all over the place for me because his opinions are just so strong, but I like a lot of the things he's done. Like the roles that he does is great. And he did Beats, Rhymes, and Life, The Travels of a Tribe Called Quest. And A Tribe Called Quest is my favorite hip hop group. And it's a must see documentary if you're a fan of hip hop or tribe just in general. But like, even if you're not, it's just so well done that it's like worth checking. But like, yeah, he's got some wild ass opinions. He's going to come for and at everybody, and not care. So you're going to know he's not going to sugarcoat anything, but, he's had some incredible roles just in his time, and he's been all over your podcast or radio waves if you've listened to anything sports or hip hop related, you know, or even comedy, you know.
Well, he's also in those memes where he's just like, "Ma,
yeah,
get in, look at this thing." What does he say? It's like there's different ones, like different iterations
yeah.
of that.
Yeah,
but he's always that voice that's like, "Ma, look at this fucking thing."
Yeah, who was it? Remember the dude that was always on BET, like the comic shows on BET, and it was like the lone white guy, and he had like olive oil. That joke where it was like I love you, but he was just like saying olive oil, and he was in that Kevin Hart movie, Think Like a Man. You know who I'm talking about? He was like the white guy on like BET television for the longest time until like Bill Burr joined him.
I don't know. I can't remember.
Ah, fuck. You guys know who I'm talking about.
I'm sure that we do. Like when you
I'm sure once
like,
you.
Ah.
Yeah. Once you say it, I'm going to
Gary
be like,
Owen.
Hey.
Gary
oh,
Owen.
Oh, yeah.
So Michael Rapaport was like the movie's version of Gary Owen because he was in all of these movies. You were like, what in the world? Like Zebrahead, Poetic Justice, The Scout, Higher Learning, Basketball Diary, like all of this shit. Like you're like it was like this one weird white dude that was just in these
movies. Recognize this guy.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, Gary Owen. Also, like True Romance, Michael Rapaport had a stellar scene.
Yeah.
In True Romance. So
you mentioned it there, but Higher Learning, like I want to, like before we get off of him, like Higher Learning was so good and such a fucking powerful movie when it came out. His like set, like his role as Remy is just amazing. And then he also had a sitcom like late 2000s, like it was called The War at Home. That shit was good. It was underrated.
Dude, he's been smashing it with the sitcom that's been going on for, I think, a while now. Maybe it's not still going. I don't know why I'm blanking.
It was the one with what's-his-face from SNL, right? Or didn't
he did. He was in that, but White Famous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was in that one, but no, it was, I am blanking. Atypical. On Netflix. And he got like lauded for his performance there, but yeah, you know, Atypical, I think, has like 4 seasons now.
You know what I always think about when I think about Michael Rapaport is I think about Pop Copy, Dave Chappelle. Just
yes, Pop Copy.
That whole fucking sketch is so fucking funny.
Yeah, and it is.
Like the one where he's like sitting there talking to the girl and he's like, yeah, so I had to take a shit really bad or whatever. And like, and then he goes, can I help you?
Casually, can I help you? Like as if she's like bothering him.
Yeah, the person sitting there listening to him say some dirty ass shit and then he just, can I help you? So fucking funny.
Oh, man.
And also like he's a constant contributor to Howard Stern, so like
Rapaport is.
Oh yeah, he calls in all the fucking time, and he has like a feud with Gary Delabate,
and just
like,
goes on rants. Yeah.
Oh my god, and it's funny.
Some of his rants are legendary. Yeah.
So it's always funny when he calls in and he's got something he's all riled up about, and a lot of the times Howard will be like, shut up.
Yeah.
You sound like an idiot right now, but then sometimes he'll agree with him. So.
He's like that one friend that we all had growing up, and like he's just gonna He's going to talk his ass off and be annoying, but there's also going to be some hilarious stuff that you pull out of it, even though you're like, this guy's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
You know,
so he also always gets his way into the Howard Stern, like the team's fun, fantasy football.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that
yeah.
always becomes a thing too. Like, it's funny.
Like, how did he get in the league again? Or whatever.
Yeah.
Love it. All right, Drew. K.A.
Hey, so raven. Oh, that's so shitty. Draft on lets you know if it's splendid or it blows. So raven, so shitty.
All right.
Hey.
This is what I've been excited for. So we teased it. Obviously Chris Rock came out with a special. However, I'm taking a little right turn on you guys.
Uh-oh.
Someone else came out with a special and it's fucking incredible. And it is, yeah, exactly. It's after watching it, I'm like, just going to tell people, like, if Will Smith, Chris Rock thing comes up, I'm just going to be like, go watch the Marlon Wayans God Loves Me special.
Okay.
Holy shit. It ended up
being, on HBO, right?
Yes. And it ended up being an entire hour on the situation, because what you don't realize is Marlon has ties to everybody involved.
Yeah, yeah.
Of course. Yeah, and he's been like, there for a long time.
But, like, deep ties with, like, all of them. It's so wild to hear the history of, like, how it all happened and all that kind of stuff. So I don't want to give away too much about it, but, like, this was the better special. And I'm a huge Marlon fan, and you know, anybody that knows me knows that, but like, I'm listening to people that had no dog in the fight and they're like, this is the stand-up you need to watch, is the one the one Marlon put out. Literally did an hour on it and it flies by. It's so good, it's so hilarious. To me, it's the best stand-up special Marlon's ever had. And it's I can't rave about it enough. Like, everybody should watch it just simply because, like, if you were at least a little bit interested in this story, like, he goes at everybody, you know, he goes at all of them in their own different ways. And it's like, I don't know, it's perfect. It's like, and I'm like, wow. Like, and then he wraps it up all incredibly nicely with a bow at the end. And I don't know. It's just so good. I can't say enough good things about it.
Yeah. After the Chris Rock special came out, I went on and I was like just reading all the comments because I just wanted to see what people thought about it, you know, and I wanted to see if anything jived with what I thought about it. And I saw a ton of people, a ton, being like, fuck all this, go watch exactly what Andy's saying. Yeah. Go watch Marlon Wayans. Like,
his, it was like, unexpected, like, how much of that's out there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, like, yeah, that's where I'm coming is, like, I just want to tell people to watch this because, like, he knows all of them intimately and he can talk about it, like, way better than I could ever talk about it. And it's hilarious because he's even, like, it was funny because it was the first time I'll just give a little peep. It was the first time all of a sudden there was a bunch of white people that were just like, eh? what did you think? You know? And it was just like, he was just basically talking about, they didn't really know where to stand.
Yeah.
Because like, he called them, it's Wilford Smith. And he did like a great like white voice and all that. And
yeah.
And then like, it's just it's so good. I can't like talk about it enough. Like, it's going to be one of those ones that is going to be incredibly hard to beat for my favorite stand-up special of the year. That's how good it was.
Fuck.
Yeah. So that's my Raven.
That's awesome.
Also, Sheedy, you know, screw you to the Karen lady that I had a run in with, but.
Uh-oh.
That's, oh, you had a Karen experience?
I did. I haven't had that in a while. It had to do with my kid. And it was just, normally I'm cool as a cucumber about that stuff. I just mind my own business. And you know, the lady, like, I heard her say the bully word, and I was watching the whole entire time, and that set me off more than I've been set off, I think, ever with my kid.
Was this at your gym class?
Yes. Yes.
Huh.
Yeah. I was, it was like they were playing, and I literally had a video where the kid was like laughing and chasing after.
Yeah.
And she was like, he made my kid cry twice, and da 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 da, because he was running around and they were chasing after each other. And I was like, but I got set off just because I heard the word bully. And I'm like, I wasn't even paying attention. I was like, wait, you're talking about my kid? And then, like, yeah, no, I don't get like that at all.
Hey, man,
it's literally the first time it's happened to me, like, I think in my kid's existence. So, where I got like,
so Andy gave that lady a swirly.
But like, yeah, she got enough shine just now, so screw her. Yeah. You know, go F yourself. All right.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
You guys got.
I'll go. Hulu has released, and I haven't got through it all, but History of the World Part 2. I watched the first three episodes, and it is fucking hilarious.
Oh my god, I gotta watch this.
Yeah,
can't wait.
It's just so funny to see like how they tie everybody kind of into this, and you know, it's weird, like all the different styles of the comedy they do is just so funny. There's one where it's so it's how did they, it was like, I'm trying to remember the actual what they called it, but it was basically like Curb Your Enthusiasm style, but it was like the night Jesus gets crucified. like JP Smooth's like plays Luke. Nick Kroll is basically like the Larry David character as Judas, and it's so funny. But even like the Jackass guys have little skits in it. Like they, you know, so it's like, it's kind of like basically however, like most of the comedy is done, like they kind of, each one kind of has its own style too. So it's really fun. So, yeah. But yeah, I just say like I said, I'm through episode 3 out of the 8 so far. And like, I can't imagine the rest of it letting me down. So
fucking I
recommend
That's
it.
Awesome.
Yeah. But there's a ton of people in it too. Like you just like every fucking thing. It's just like, oh my god, this person too.
I'm gonna check that out.
Cannot wait to watch this.
I don't know if I've I think because I've been a little sporadic on the show lately, so I'm not exactly sure if I've brought this up before, but even if I didn't, I just watched like the newest episode and Shrinking on Apple TV with Jason Segel.
So good.
It's so fucking, it's like getting up to like being my like one of my favorite shows right now. Like I wait for it to come out, and like Jason Segel is back too, man. Like holy shit. It's a perfect, and it's so thoughtful, and it's so fucking refreshing, and like the comedy
is relatable.
The comedy is sharp, but like the content is fucking like raw. So it's so fucking good. Yeah, and I'm not gonna like sit here and like pick parts of the show to like spoil, but like I'm telling you, give it this show a shot, and I'm sure that it will help you. Harrison Ford is so good in this show. Like everybody,
every character is perfect in that show.
Yeah.
Like that, it's like if you were to look up like all time greatest performances for each of those actors, this would be the one to point to because of everything that you just said, but also like it's the weirdest thing. Like we all know it's an Apple show.
Yeah.
We all know that it's these actors are playing these characters and it's not who necessarily who they really are, but it feels so real in like this is how people really have conversations and this is how you really feel about things that have gone on in your life, about trauma, about and you know it's therapy, but it's also showing therapists is showing their imperfections, kind of showing them as people.
Yeah, exactly.
Which is very important.
Yeah. It's absolutely amazing.
I definitely want to check this one out for sure.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. It is fantastic.
And truthfully, you might learn some stuff about yourself just watching the show. Like
you will.
The way that they like, I don't know, the way they shrink people in the show and shrink each other. And like, it's just, yeah, it's very, very good.
And speaking of Apple, I believe Ted Lasso returns Thursday.
Yes. Friday?
Yeah, March 15th.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cannot wait for that.
Yeah. Hey, speaking great of March 15th, well. I go live for my next little bit of my life story with bringing in my good buddy Tim to plug in some more holes in my life story. So
nice.
For that Wednesday night on Instagram.
Oh, love yeah.
That. Jeez, what do you got?
Okay.
You got a Raven or Sheedy?
Well, you know, the all time Raven will from 2.5 months ago to forever will be my daughter being born.
Absolutely.
I'm absolutely loving being a dad. She is amazing. So that has to be said. And I won't, if you guys will kindly ask me back, I will not say that one again, but that is
oh,
the
go for it.
All
yeah.
Forever right. Raven.
Yeah.
I should have done that in the last 4.5 years.
Yeah, I forgot Andy even had a kid till this Karen story.
I think mine is I guess it's an appropriate time to bring it up here. I am going to be starting a podcast.
Hey yes.
What?
Drew is so fucking baffled. No, it's going to be called Your Own Machine, which is going to be geared towards people who there's going to be a little bit of wrestling in it, of course, but there's a lot of indie wrestling, just straight out, just about only wrestling podcasts on the scene.
Yeah.
Podcasts, you guys know, podcasts in and of themselves it's a saturated market, but when you have cool and relatable content such as the Draft Pod and the Jabroni U boys, you can catch some people and you can change some minds, some hearts, some souls, and some feelings on some certain things, or just enlighten them. And with this one is when I talk to people about their wrestling, if I bring a wrestler on, for example, it's going to be more about the entrepreneurial side of pro wrestling, the business part of pro wrestling, not necessarily like, hey, count your money in front of me type deal, but just like, what did you have to do to get there?
Yeah.
And I'll be talking to stand-up comics, musicians, entertainers.
Oh, that is awesome.
People who are really just, they have built their own machine. They didn't start out or get thrust into a world where they have this big corporate machine behind them, and I will aim for bigger guests as I grow. But yeah, it's one of those things where I would, I'm pretty excited to talk to a lot of different people. And as I said before, during this podcast, I'd relate it back to wrestling, because in some way, shape, or form or another, everything is wrestling. But yeah, it's something that really, I was talking about it before, but I've learned in the last 4 to 5 years, you know, I need to go with my gut, and my gut told me to become a pro wrestler. My gut told me to start my own business. My gut told me to take a chance and meet this girl who is now the mother of my child. Now my gut is telling me, hey man, you got to do a podcast. And so I'm like, okay, well, I'm doing podcasts. And
dude, that is awesome.
It's about these things that I'm very passionate about, and they get me really excited. Just like it gets me excited that I get to come on your podcast and talk to you guys. This really gets me excited.
Oh, so, yeah. That's awesome, man.
I'm hoping we'll do a swip swap, and you guys will come on my podcast.
100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. We got you for whatever you want, anytime you want, any place you want. You name it.
I love it. I love it. Thank you. That's my Raven. I mean, Sheedy don't really actually Sheedy is kind of the Raven and Sheedy. I got this thing in the mail from the financial secretary for the state of Florida, and it's floridatreasurehunt.gov, and it's unclaimed money.
Oh shit.
Yeah, so I was like, I was expecting like, you know, like $15 or something.
Yeah.
But I got like, you know, a little under $1,000.
Hey.
And I was like, that's cool. That's, you know, that's a Raven, right? Yeah. But here's the sheedy part. The sheedy is it's going straight to credit card bill. I talked to my wife about it. I was like, hey, check this out. And I was thinking, maybe I'll even take her on a vacation or something, mini vacation for the weekend or whatever. And she was just like, yeah, have you promised that to anything? And I was like, she was like, yeah, it's going to credit card.
Hey, that's solid. Actually, yeah. Oh, go ahead, Andy.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say, that's actually good advice anyway to our listeners as well. Like, go online and just search unclaimed money, your state, and see if you got something out there. Because a lot, like I've even had times where I've typed my name and all of a sudden I'm like, oh, fuck, there's like almost $1,000, like you said, almost $1,000 in my name right here that I didn't know that I had. And they'll send you a check, they'll cut you a check, and boom, there you go.
Wow.
So, yeah, that's something a lot of people don't know about it. Yeah.
I did not know it was a thing.
That's right.
It's very interesting. And the fact that, like, who knows how long this has been sitting out there, because this is from an address from when I lived in, it's the address at the time was from Tallahassee. I hadn't lived in Tallahassee in, gosh, like 10, 12 years or something.
Yeah.
And it's the old Tallahassee address. So I was like, wow, this is nuts.
If I look up my name in Tallahassee, they're going to tell me I owe $1,200.
Sir, we've been looking for you.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, we saw your Google. Yeah.
I thought it could have been a ruse because there are some things that, you know, I wouldn't want to come back and haunt me from there, but, you know.
Real Mulan ruse.
All right, now I hit the button.
That's so Raven. Oh, that's so Sheedy. Draft on lets you know if it's splendid or it blows. So Raven, so Sheedy.
Right, fifth and final pick. Before honorables, but
I'm thinking we had seven rounds. Damn it!
No. I like a bit of a Renaissance man. I like people that do things that, you know, maybe they're not supposed to do from other people, because it's like, this is what you do, this is what you're good at, and they're like, nah, I'm going to go and do something else, you know? And so I'm going to take this gentleman who, you know, will be probably the lone on our list. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe there's others I don't know about. But Drew, you took a Mexican redhead. I'm going to take a black redhead. Give me Blake Griffin.
Oh, wow. Shit. That's good. Yeah. That's a good one.
Damn.
Yeah. What I love about Blake Griffin, aside from just like a lot of the early stuff where he was just dunking on everybody, jumping over cars, and he was just so much fun to watch, is he's also somebody that has been a fan of, you know, comedy and TV and everything like that. He's appeared on Broad City. He made his acting debut, actually. He's done Funny or Die stuff. He did some roast stuff. He appeared as a roaster for the Alec Baldwin one. He did this thing called Uncut and did a roast battle with Jeff Ross. He was on the season of the Eric Andre Show that featured Stormy Daniels. So, so that's interesting. Yeah. I really enjoy when people do that kind of stuff. I'm excited to see what he does next because, he was pretty hilarious. He did a little stand-up thing that I saw where, he talked about some of the stuff like of, when he got traded to Detroit from LA, and he talked about some things NBA player, like from a stand-up special, you might not hear, but he did it from an NBA perspective. And like I got traded to fucking Detroit from LA, you know? So yeah, I'm just a big fan of his, and excited to see what he does next.
And you know, he's still pretty viable in the league too. Like he's whenever he comes off the bench in a Celtics game, like he adds to the fucking game. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm a big, I actually love Blake Griffin a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's not Shaq farewell tour.
Yeah. Right.
Playing different teams. Yeah. That's a fantastic pick.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's a 6-time all-star. Like he's no fucking slouch, man. He's a legit fucking basketball player. I'll tell you what. Yeah.
Any people that kind of bucks the trend of what people tell you you can do, and then you go and try something else, I really like that.
Yeah, exactly.
All right.
And also mentioned in a lot of hip hop songs. Like there's a lot. Is. He gets dropped a lot, so he's a very popular guy.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Cheese, fifth pick.
Okay. This is our final round, huh?
Yeah,
it is. You'll have a chance to get three honorables, but this is your last on your roster team pick.
Okay. Well, and I'm doing this for personal reasons. So he's on my team now. I'm drafting him now. Eric Stoltz.
Oh. Could have been Marty McFly.
That's exactly what I was going to bring up because that again, I feel like every time everything I talk about is like I relate it to a throwback, but you just remember back in the day when everybody was talking about it. Like I've always been a huge Back to the Future fan. In my top, you know, 50 of movies, whatever, but like Eric Stoltz nearly being Marty McFly and everybody talking about it before the DVD version of the like special edition with all the commentary and all the extra stuff that came with it. Like before that, everybody's like, there's footage out there. Eric Stoltz. He was almost Marty McFly. He basically was, bro. And just like,
they almost filmed the whole movie with him. They like,
yeah.
Yeah. There's like a ton of footage.
That's so crazy.
But he turned it around. He didn't let that, you know,
it wasn't a good performance either.
Wasn't great, but he turned around and he got behind the camera. And so he does a lot of directing now, and has over the last 15 years, 20 years of, just like different shows. Like he's directed episodes of like Grey's Anatomy and Glee and all that kind of stuff. Like, I like it because almost Marty McFly, you think your career's dead, but nope, you'd go and just turn into a director, basically.
Yeah.
And actually that ties in with the Marlon Wayans special if you watch it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Okay.
And now I really have to watch it probably tonight.
Yeah.
That's those who awesome. Can like act, that. Those who can't direct. You know what I
there
mean?
There you go.
Also act on the side.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's his. Yeah, his list of things he's done is a large.
Yeah. Oh
yeah,
yeah.
He's done a lot of stuff.
He did not let that shit fucking stop him. Definitely. He's the Blake sure. Griffin of movies.
I like it. He does not look 61.
All right.
No, I know. Yeah.
I'm going to go with someone we could have picked 2 weeks ago. Very close to my list, or very close to being on my team. It was just so many people to pick from. But hey, you know, since we're talking redheads, give me Josh Homme from Queens of the Stone Age.
Oh fuck! Oh. I had him on my list.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's so good.
Yeah, like that dude is just super talented. Super tall, super guitar player. Like, but yeah, man, he's just done all those like all those side projects that Dave Grohl has done. He's been a part of that too. Like usually, like those guys have worked together so much. So, you know, if one of them needs a drummer, they call one. If one of them needs a guitar player, you know, he called the other one. So it's like they do a lot of stuff together. And like the whole what were those called, the desert sessions or whatever, like that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like he's an incredible musician. It's just always just I got an idea, here's this thing I'm gonna write. So
I was just listening to that album.
Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I was just listening to that album, the Songs for the Deaf.
Yeah.
Such
a good album.
That song, No One Knows, like lives on repeat in my head. Well, I don't even know if that's the name of the song, but the song.
Now I have to listen to it.
Looks like he was on an episode of Anthony Bourdain, Parts Unknown.
Oh.
Yeah, in 2018. So that'd be a pretty cool watch.
Damn, that's real close to one of the last episodes then.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was. Yeah,
maybe something happened.
Maybe Josh Homme killed
Anthony. Oh, my God.
First implicated on the draft pod.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Because, he died in June of 2018.
Oh, shit. Well, I'm sure the episode was filmed like much earlier. You know what I mean?
Cover your tracks. Cover your tracks.
Oh,
allegedly.
Allegedly, yes. If I learned anything from Pat McAfee, it's you have to put the word allegedly after it.
Right.
All right.
James.
All right, here we go.
Finish us.
So this guy, I like to say it like this. You're an Olympian, Harry. This is, I'm going to go with Sean White.
Oh.
He's an Olympian, Harry.
Nice. Yeah.
Sean White single-handedly brought in the tight pants fans.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like
Levi
skinny 5'10s. Jeans.
Yeah. Like not even 5'11s. 5'10s. Like Sean White was the dude skinny jeans.
Dude, and not to mention like snowboarding and skating, like come on. Dude's fucking multi-threat. He's really fucking good too. Like
he's athletes. Snowboard Tony Hawk.
Exactly. Yeah. And he can also ride with Tony Hawk in the skate park.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, dude.
Snowboard Michael Jordan.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. Because there's true. Swimming, you know, Michael. No, not swimming, Michael Phelps. But you get what I'm saying.
Yes.
But like, literally, I just remember. Yeah. like there's a few dudes or a few athletes, not just dudes, where when the Olympics comes around, you're like, I have to tune in when this person is going.
He's the snowboarding Bonnie Blair.
Dude, I loved watching Bonnie Blair.
He's just fucking killed it.
But like, yeah, he's one of those people where you're like, you had to tune in. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Fuck, that's such a great pick.
That's a great pick. Especially like the fifth pick of the draft, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh.
Well, shit. Courtney Rule?
Courtney Rule.
Let's hit it.
All right, here we go. So first off, I'm going to take the man, the natural, or a real actor, Robert Redford.
Yeah.
Come on. Wow. How the fuck is Robert Redford not up in the fucking team?
Yeah, like, that's kind of... That's a good call.
Second, I'm going to take the Duke of Sussex. He told him to suck it. I'm going Prince Harry.
Yeah,
nice. That was in, that was in mine.
I got just to bring up
the list. I almost did too. Yeah. The thing, look up Prince Harry, James Corden. That's a lot of fun. They did like a little like 10, 12 minute like little sketch where he was first moving to LA.
Okay.
I immediately was like, I fuck with Harry.
And then a dude that we picked in our frontman deal, which I didn't really know that he had red hair, and since it's honorables and I can't really tell in the pictures, but I guess he does, but I'm gonna go with Axl Rose.
Yeah,
he's a redhead.
Yeah, he's a redhead.
It's like strawberry blonde.
Yeah,
maybe that's why he's Axl Rose.
And then finally, I'm gonna also steal Conan O'Brien from Andy.
No. Real quick.
All right, Andy,
no.
What's your number one pick?
And I'm going to put him in place. I can swap you because I'm going to put him in place of. Wait, who is I going to?
There's not a. There's not a number one replacing Conan. Yeah.
You know what? To make it fair, I'll give you Sean White. Since he's an Olympian, I give you Sean White, and I'm taking Conan.
Oh.
Well, yeah. I'd have to. Oh my God, I'm gonna have to reach in my bag and go crazy here. I'm gonna give me Harry.
You're taking Prince Harry?
Can I do? No, I can't do that.
Can't do that.
I can't do that.
You can't do it. Yeah, you're gonna have to add drop later.
Yeah, I can't. Oh my God!
I mean, you have Sean White. It's out there. I mean, you could take him now because he's like off the boards.
You know what? I'll go check this out. Check this out. Right. Michael C. Hall.
Okay.
Wow.
Dexter. Yeah. I guess he does have red hair.
Mm-hmm.
That feels such a.
Sorry, I really wanted Conan. I knew what going into this draft that I really wanted Conan very badly.
Oh my God.
You took him and I gotta fucking have him. I just have to have him. And now I don't have a steel card either for the rest of the year. Fuck.
Yeah, but that one hurts.
We're both gone, and we're not even through the first quarter.
I know. We're gonna need to do a steel card game very soon.
You know what? I heard that there's a guy locally that does trivia really well, so maybe we could hire him to be the host for that episode.
Oh shit!
I like that idea.
Yeah,
there you go.
Bring back the Draft Pod Jeopardy. Sorry, Wes.
Oh my God! Okay, wow.
Sorry, buddy.
I just panic picked. I didn't know if Michael Hall was a great pick or not.
That's not bad. Well, it's not bad. You're killing it. Dexter, get it? Okay, I gotta go.
All right. Who?
Oh, it's my turn?
Yeah, you got me shook.
All right, so I'm going to pick Sean White in my honorables.
There you go.
Since he's just out there now for some reason. Oh, you know what? Let's go athletes here. So I'm going to go Mark McGwire.
Nice.
Oh.
If you lived through 98, like that was everywhere. So
how have you not picked somebody that you, okay, let's just go ahead.
And then thirdly, I'm going to go the, you know, the Celtic warrior. Give me Sheamus.
What?
Nice. Oh, that's so good.
I'm just shocked because there's somebody that Drew claims to love that is sitting out there that he didn't take.
Oh, I'm really interested in who that is.
Yeah.
Sometimes you forget about those you love, you know?
Well, it's because he didn't appear to be redheaded on TV, but he was a redhead.
Oh, okay.
There's somebody out there that I'm surprised you guys haven't picked, but let's go.
All right, go ahead. Go ahead. Jeez.
All right. Well, I keep seeing this guy come up, and I just it's dubious, but I gotta wonder why nobody has said Michael Fassbender. Does somebody?
He's taking number one.
I think he is redheaded, but it's just you don't really see him as a redhead in a lot of stuff, so that's kind of
correct. Like, but you look at his skin and you look at his beard, like in this, I don't know if you guys can see this very well, like that's that, that's Ginge.
Oh, he's a ready. He's definitely for sure. Yeah, he's ready.
But I was also unsure, but I'm just like, you know what? After the Dexter, Michael C. Hall, after that, I was just like, you know what? I'm going for him. He's going to be in my mentions. And then the other one that I had was forgive me if I'm doing the wrong thing, but Damian Lewis. Did anybody say Damian Lewis?
Yeah, Billions.
And
that's the Billions guy,
Billions and Homeland. He played He was so good in that show.
Dude, the way he exits that show too is fucked up. Damn.
Insane. And then this is where it gets hard, right? This is like
we're getting down to the wire.
We're really scraping the bottom of the barrel for redheads too. I'm sorry, man.
No, it's not you. It's James got me.
Sorry, buddy.
He put me on the ropes and knocked me out.
You know what I'm seeing? And again, my theme here is that I was afraid to say them, but I'm seeing Danny Bonaducci.
Bonaducci. There you go.
Nobody said Danny Bonaducci because I'm seeing him like, what was his controversy? Didn't he get canceled or something? Or he just fell off?
It feels like he was somebody that was in that VH1 show of like people that have been disgraced.
Something like that. But he was also originally in another show like that. He was like one of the OG, like, I used to be a celebrity.
And
now I'm in this. And he got re-famous for that. And I think it was something about drugs, like a drug addiction maybe or something.
Yeah, Breaking Bonaducci.
Okay.
2005.
And then he started working out real hard.
Yep.
And
he's got
all jacked.
Yeah.
Shout out. Love that. You love somebody flipping it around.
Andy Liner.
All right. Yeah, I'm going to take here's where my my nerdness is going to come in. I don't care. Like whatever, there's my youngness. I'm taking Wes from the Challenge.
All right. I don't know who that is, but I'm going to go with it.
Andy Gauchy's really happy right now.
Bergman, I believe is his last name. Real strategist, one of the greats of challenge history. I'm going to take Ethan from the Sidemen.
The Sidemen on YouTube.
Yep.
Yeah.
I enjoy it, so whatever. I know I'm a child for it, but
hey. Take that.
And then I'm going to take one of the hottest dudes in wrestling today. Give me Samuel Zane.
Oh, fuck. Sami Zayn.
That's such a good pull. I forgot about him.
Oh, man.
And I will be ad dropping. Because I don't know why I picked Michael C. Hall. I've never watched Dexter like that.
Yeah, but you're a big 6 feet under fan.
Definitely not.
I'm locked in on my team.
Andy, read me my team.
Okay. Your team is Burr, Peg, Canelo, Gleason, Hami.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You ad dropping or no?
Oh. Yeah.
Oh. Well, damn me.
Jeez, ad dropping or are you locked in?
I'm pretty locked, guys.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Well, because you got a squad.
Yeah.
So that makes sense.
Yeah, me too.
My squad is just
Bryanton. Kissler. Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah. All right. My squad losing Conan just
That's been a devastating year season already.
Yeah. Yeah.
By the way, was Zane the guy you said you thought I love or
no. Oh. Undertaker.
Oh shit.
No. I can't believe we missed the Undertaker.
Look in the chat.
And yeah.
Look in the chat. I put a picture in the chat.
I kind of just looked behind me. So let's go with
My god.
I know.
He's really redhead. Fuck.
I'm gonna drop Canelo. And you know what? Give me some fucking royalty.
Damn it.
Prince Harry.
No, that's what I was gonna go with.
Oh my god.
The Duke of Suck It.
Yeah, the Duke of Suck It.
I love that line, Duke of Suck It. Duke of Sussex, he told him to suck it.
That's right.
So good.
God, this hurts so bad. Like, that's who I should have taken. Well, I couldn't. I tried.
Mm-hmm.
But because it was in honorables, I couldn't do that. That's right. Oh, well, that hurts.
Rough night.
You know what? I'm going to drop Michael C. Hall. And since wrestling is everything and we got the cheese with us, Sami Zayn, you get the number one spot, baby.
Oh, shit. Wow. Sami Zayn, number one pick.
There it is. I can't adjust, but I'm not going to because, like Cheese said, wrestling is everything.
Yeah. That is. Everything is wrestling. Comes back to it.
Wow.
Such a devastating snag for you.
I know.
Sorry, buddy. Hey. You know what? You have to pick and choose when you're going to use your steel card, and it better be for somebody you really love. And I love Conan O'Brien. So
funny to me that he was just like, dude, Shaun White, such a great pick. Like, oh, man. Like, yeah, he should have definitely been higher. And then you give him Shaun White, and he's like, no, give me the guy who played Dexter.
Well, the problem
I don't know anything about anything he's done, but Michael C. Hall. Boom.
The problem was I took Blake Griffin, so I didn't want to, over-athlete it, because it's a dude that competes at, he's winning Olympics every 4 years, right? So,
yeah.
All right, here's the teams of best redheaded living dudes. The best redheaded living dude of all time is none other than El Generico, Sami Zayn. Number two, Action Bronson. Number three, Louis C.K. Number four, Michael Rapaport. Oh, God, Andy. Number five, Blake Griffin.
Team, buddy.
Cheese's team of best living redhead dudes. Number one, Rupert Grint. Number two, Seth Green. Number three, Chuck Norris. Number four, Brendan Gleeson. And number five, Eric Stoltz. Drew's Man, that's team, a good team of best living redhead dudes. What? Number one, Bill Burr. Number two, Simon Pegg. Number three, Prince Harry. Number four, Dom Gleeson. Number five, Josh Homme. Solid.
Fucking A.
Number James's team of I'm so screwed up right now. Living redheaded dudes. Number one, Alan Tudyk. Number two, Andrew Santino. Oh God, that one hurt too. Number three, Ben Foster. Number four, Jesse Plemons. And number five, Conan O'Brien. Jeez.
Last pick in the draft, and I was complaining that he was number 30 on Ranker.
Yep. He ended up number 20 or yeah.
Oh, yeah.
No, 20. No, number yeah. 20.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Jeez.
Why don't you hit us with the socials again before we get out of here?
Oh, hit me up on Instagram at the Cheese Pro. And I'm the Cheese Pro Wrestler on Facebook and at the Cheese PW on Twitter. And you can book me at the American Cheese with a Z at gmail.com. You can book me for your trivia event. You can book me for your wrestling event. You can book me for your trivia and wrestling event.
He'll do trivia while wrestling.
That would be very difficult, but I'm willing to try.
Especially if you're out of state.
Yeah, if you're out of state, I am trying to get it. Thank you. Trying to get into three different states this year. This is my goal. Last year it was my goal, but I didn't get after it as hard. So this year I would like to go to three different states. So if you're a booker, or your promoter, or you know a booker or promoter out of state who would like to book the Cheese, please hit me up, because I'd like to hit or exceed that goal of hitting up three different states this year. Not that I don't love sunny Florida. I'll always be a Florida guy, but I do want to branch out, and I want more people to know about the Cheese.
All I'm saying that if only there was somebody that knew the people at Old Time Wrestling.
Somebody in Ohio, maybe.
Yeah, like I feel like they would. Yeah. The Cheese would be perfect for that.
Absolutely. Also, yeah. I feel like somebody in Texas might know somebody.
Yeah.
You know, that you know, you never know.
Knows a guy that knows a guy.
Yeah, knows a guy that knows a guy, and maybe somebody in Illinois. Those are three states.
Yeah,
three states. I'm very interested in going to. Man, by the way,
look at this.
Look at that.
All right, with that, I say I love you, bitch.
Well, that's our show. Tune in next week for another episode of The Draft Podcast. Bye-bye.